Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Jeff from Spring Hill. Jeff, thanks for calling in Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, how y'all guys doing this morning?
We're good, Jeff.
I'm having one thing of trouble trying to understand with everyone with the hype talking about Aaron Rodgers. If so what, he might be making his retirement home in Franklin. Who knows? But he's going to be 39. And the possibility of him coming to Titans and everything, okay, whatever. But he can't get Green Bay over the hump. What makes everyone think he's going to get the Titans over the hump? Hey. And I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jeff. We appreciate it. I mean, look, you don't have to tell me. There's nobody that knows better than me about how disappointing it is to have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for the last 30 years, and you have two Super Bowls to show for it. Now, granted, Titans fans would take two Super Bowls right now. I understand. But, I mean, you're talking about 30 years of what? Top 10 quarterbacks of all time to ever play the game? I mean, Rodgers, you can make a case for top five, probably. I mean, it's a lot of really high-level quarterback play, and you've got one Super Bowl piece to show for it. So, I mean, there's no question. That part of it is disappointing. Now, I will say it's been a lot that's happened that are kind of different reasons for that. There have been times where he's choked, like this past playoffs. He did not play well. Wasn't good. Now, the special teams also gave up a blocked field goal and a blocked punt for a touchdown. And special teams have been a problem around there for a while. Defense, over the course of the last 10 years, has not been good. It was better this year. It hadn't been good. So there's reasons for, you know, not all of it is just on Aaron Rodgers. But, yes, when you look at Aaron Rodgers and how talented he is and, you know, the numbers that he's put up, if he finishes his career with one Super Bowl, you're going to say, yeah, he was great, but man, one Super Bowl from that guy? That's crazy.
Well, see, here's where I would argue with the caller is he said, well, he couldn't get Green Bay over the hump, like, which to me means you think that, like, Green Bay without Rodgers is like, markedly better than the Titans. Let's take the quarterbacks out of it. Which is the better football team? The Tennessee Titans, everything, all other than quarterback, or the Green Bay Packers?
Titans. Titans have better defense. I like their pieces on offense better. Now,
they have Derrick Henry, too.
You have Derrick Henry. Now, Davante Adams is pretty darn good.
Yes. Like, he's better than A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, though, is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so to me, Green Bay, like, that's why they're, I mean, it's and Aaron Rodgers, and then, you know, they have a good team. But Aaron Rodgers is why Green Bay has been where they are.
That is correct. Well, I mean, think about, you know, part of the reason they're in the situation they're in is because, you know, instead of going out and drafting, I don't know, a wide receiver at some point in the first round or something to help Aaron Rodgers, you drafted Jordan Love. That's part of the reason why they're in the situation that they're in right now.
Year three of that rookie deal coming right up. Get started.
Yeah, it is. So, look, I mean, I hear the age thing with Rodgers. He will be 39, you know, late next season. That's old. I mean, you start to worry about a decline coming at some point. I mean, I will say, though, I feel a little bit better about him. The last 2 years, you can make an argument, have been the best 2 years of his career. And he's had a pretty darn good career. So if Rodgers did end up as quarterback of the Titans, I'd feel pretty good about him being pretty darn good next year, is what I'm saying. He can still make all the throws.
Yeah, nothing's guaranteed, but would it be an upgrade? I mean, it'd be a pretty significant upgrade over Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, how would y'all feel if the Titans let Lawan and Saffold go and signed Brandon Scherff and Nate Solder? I don't think that's going to happen.
Just swapping out.
Just swapping out linemen.
Yeah, this is – I mean, I don't know on the – I know that you are able to cut Saffold and Lawan relatively painlessly now, which is why that's on the table. But The reason you cut those, like, you're cutting them because you're trying to find money, for example, to, like, have Harold Landry be on your team next year.
Yeah.
I think that one of those guys won't be here, but I think the replacement is, like, Aaron Brewer is your left guard for Roger Saffold, is probably, maybe a rookie, but yeah, you're not going out and then signing more high-priced veterans to replace that. That's what you cut those salaries to make it all work.
I got a text that says, so Aaron Rodgers is building a house in Nashville, in the Nashville area. Cool. There are a ton of NFL players that live here that don't play for the Titans, like George Kittle. People that seriously think the Titans will sign him are crazy.
Rodgers to Kittle with Belichick as special teams coach. My goodness, imagine the possibilities. Yeah, we're not saying, again,
and also,
it's noteworthy that he's building a house here.
Also, okay? They would not sign him. It would be a trade. But yeah.
Yes.
Now, they could sign him to an extension. Sign him to at least 44.
Kick the can down the road.
Brady, man. Yeah.
Create more cap room and sign, Adrian Peterson back? There's a lot of ways you could go with this.
Ken texting in says, Rodgers would be a cancer in the locker room. Yeah, that's just not true. He's played in Green Bay for a long time. I don't know of anyone that's come out of Green Bay and said, you know what? I hated playing with Aaron Rodgers. That guy's a jerk. I get it. His public persona is he's arrogant. He's cocky. He rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I understand. I totally understand. He would not be a cancer in the locker room. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
It would not happen.
I think he'd be a source of distraction and maybe, again, like, I don't think he'd be as liked as Tannehill is. But yeah, that's going too far. If he was that, then he wouldn't have the career he's had.
Yeah. So I wouldn't worry about that part of it. We'll see if he ends up becoming quarterback of the Titans. Wish him good luck in the building process, though. Hope that goes well down in Williamson County.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a very nice house.
I'm sure that it will be. Hopefully, Shailene and Reese Witherspoon have a good time together here.
That's right. Reese has, I think she has one. A store here, right?
Yeah.
I believe that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nashville's a happening place, man.
Hillsborough Village.
No, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Happening place.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, we talked about this a little bit yesterday with the Nick Saban comments where he came out and said, we never cheated to get players here. Just going on like this rant against NIL and how everything's out in the open and saying that in the old days we never cheated, which was amazing. You talked about this yesterday I'm sure Nick Saban himself never walked up and handed somebody a car or handed somebody money. But let's be real here. We know what goes on in the SEC. We know what has gone on in the SEC as well. This sort of noise continued yesterday with Jimbo Fisher down in Texas A&M screaming about NIL, which, first off, this whole press conference/story is amazing. As we know, yesterday officially was National Signing Day in college football, even though it's been totally overshadowed by everything going in the NFL this week. And really, quite frankly, overshadowed by its own sport in the early signing period, where this day has become almost useless in college football. But Jimbo Fisher yelling yesterday and called out a message board poster who uses the handle, quote, sliced bread, for claims that the Texas A&M Aggies had $30 million at their disposal for name, image, and likeness funds, calling it a joke. And basically, the talk down there has been, of course Texas A&M recruiting well right now because they got all this money from NIL and they're just throwing it at players right now. And Jimbo went off yesterday. It's a lot of defensiveness from SEC coaches as of late in the last couple of days when it comes to NIL.
Yeah. Jimbo says, clown acts.
Yeah, clown acts.
Multiple coaches in our league. The guy's grabbing about NIL, grabbing about the portal, using it the most and bragging about the most. It's a joke now. Lane Kiffin says the other day, it's like dealing with different salary caps. I joked the other day, I don't know if Texas A&M was going to incur a luxury tax and how much they paid for their signing class, end quote. So, that's certainly Jimbo is yelling at him, but Jimbo's mad at Saban too,
yep.
Clearly. And I just think it's all hilarious. It's just complete full of crapness all across the board. Like, first of all, Jimbo goes off about, Have you ever seen the 12th man here? What about this is the best. This is one of my favorite things. You ever come to school here and see the education? There ain't a better university in this country.
Do you
Thank
see
you,
the education?
Thank you, Jimbo. Good grammar there. Come on, man. Look, yeah, there's nothing wrong with, to me, NIL money going to players who are highly sought players. The fact that, like, Saban is going to come out here, they are going to – I mean, his quarterback last year was making seven figures, okay? His quarterback who won the Heisman had seven figures in NIL. Great. Who cares? And now you're going to complain about it, and then I actually have the gall. Just be so willing to admit you think everyone is stupid. To come out and talk about we've never cheated here. I mean, it's just all of this is just hilarious. It really is like a sewing circle of screaming at each other.
Jimbo was mad yesterday. He said, quote, "I tell you what, I know how some of those guys recruit too. Go dig into that. I know the history. I know the tradition. I know things. Trust me, you don't want to go down that avenue," was the quote from Jimbo Fisher.
I mean, who's he talking about? He was with Saban going back to LSU.
Yeah.
But it's all the same thing. Lane, so are you saying, Jimbo, that you haven't done this stuff?
I mean, come on.
And then so Jeremy Pruitt goes to Tennessee, and there's a scandal, and it's just terrible, sloppy cheating. And it's like, where did he get that? Oh, my goodness. It's such a joke. Just take ownership of this. Now you have this situation, so deal with it. And if Texas A&M gets all the best guys, well, you better do something better on your end. That's what it always is. If the booster from Georgia – outpaid your booster for the kid you were trying to recruit for Florida. Well, guess what? You better do better next time.
Yeah. Got a text that says, "Remember, guys, it just means more." That is true.
It is true.
There's no off season in the SEC.
Well, I guess this is one good value of still having a quote unquote signing day, is that we can have these press conferences, so these guys can just say ridiculous crap. I mean,
thank you, Jeremy.
Yes.
I miss that guy.
Teaching Blake Topmeyer about the game of football.
My favorite part from yesterday was the tight end that was committed to LSU that was dancing around with Brian Kelly in that video and then committed to Alabama yesterday.
Wait, was he actually committed to LSU?
He was committed to LSU like 6 days ago.
Then he signed with Bama.
And then he signed with Bama.
Well, he did that video, and then he probably saw it and was like,
"Oh my God,
what is Brian Kelly doing?
I'm going to go play for
doing
him."
Doing like the thing with the eyes and stuff. Like, what? All right, I'm going to Bama.
What has happened to Brian Kelly since he got down to LSU? What are they feeding him?
I don't know, man. He and Kim Mulkey are just tearing up the town right now, Baton Rouge.
Ugh.
But I really hope we can get to the point here where it's like, hey, guys, money changes hands for the top talent in the country to play sports that create billions in revenue. Can we all accept this and just move on?
I would hope so.
You guys are still acting. It's just, I'm sorry. I have no words.
When we come back, speaking of strange days for coaches, what a day yesterday for Jim Harbaugh. That's a strange story for Jim Harbaugh and the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get to that coming up next.
Speaking of coaches who are full of crap.
Yes, there is that. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ever been to a game here? You ever come to school here and see the education? You ever talk about the 12th man, the Aggie Network when you're done? There ain't a better university in this country. And it's insulting to what you say. And all these, and we got writers who have said it and done it, off sliced bread. A guy named Sly who made it up. Love to see who sliced bread is and put it out there with sliced bread. Let me find out where it comes from.
Sliced bread.
And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown acts. All right? Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guys griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most. That's the ironic part. You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke. It does piss me off.
Jimbo Fisher yesterday at his press conference down at Texas A&M.
There ain't a better university in the country.
We think that Jimbo will no longer use the phrase "the best thing since sliced bread." Sliced bread's just dead to him at this point.
Yeah, sliced bread, you better change your username. Sliced bread better get a burner.
Just Jimbo's keep doubling mad. Down, man. Keep going after him, sliced bread.
Hey, Jimbo, did you sign like the most talented class in the country? Okay. Great. Go win with it. Shut up.
You won. He won signing day. Relax.
Yeah, there you go. It's its own sport. You won. You were the national champion of signing day.
Yeah, way to go, buddy. He was hot yesterday, man. He's mad. The Lane Kiffin stuff is hilarious.
I'm sure it's like the sliced bread said we had $30 million. You know, it's actually only $8 million. You liars!
It's actually 27.
Like, yeah, I mean, come on.
Think we just add $3 million wherever we want to? No, we can't. Oh, great stuff yesterday from Jimbo Fisher. Speaking of great stuff, you know, this time yesterday on the show, we were pretty certain that Jim Harbaugh was going to be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He was going to leave Michigan and come back to the NFL and be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And apparently Jim Harbaugh is pretty sure about that, too, according to Courtney Cronin from ESPN. Obviously, Harbaugh was in the building yesterday with the Vikings being interviewed for the job. And according to Cronin, it says, quote, sources previously told ESPN that Harbaugh had been planning for his interview with Minnesota as if he was going to be hired by the Vikings and prepared his exit from the Wolverines football program by speaking with recruits about the possibility of his return to the NFL. Minnesota did not bring Harbaugh in on Wednesday with the notion that the job was his and went through the same interview process and format that the franchise conducted with New York Giants defensive coordinator Patrick Graham on Tuesday. They went on to say that Harbaugh left the building yesterday without an offer from Minnesota, so has since decided to go back.
He's like, I'm coming back, but let go, Blue, baby. Now, that, I mean, there's a lot of things about this that are amazing. I mean, he's Michael Scott.
Yeah.
He's Michael Scott. Sure, he's going to get the job. He's like, guess what? You know what, guys? I decided I'm staying in Scranton. Some of the people who cover Michigan, good friends of mine, who Harbaugh is kind of spotty in terms of my buddy Larry Lage is covering the Olympics, and he's like, he tweeted, like, I was really happy to get a text from Harbaugh that he's coming back to Michigan. And Angelique Changelis, who she's covered Michigan forever, does a fantastic job, got a text from him, said, with enthusiasm unknown to mankind, that's one of his catchphrases, that he's coming back to Michigan. So it was a quick pivot to, Michigan? What do you think?
Yeah. Huh? What do you think? Coming back?
I just wanted to check on this. I just wanted to see. And you know what? I've decided I'm coming back to Michigan.
Well, not only that he's coming back, because Courtney Cronin put this in the story too. Quote, Harbaugh told athletic director Ward Manuel that this would not be a recurring issue and that he would be staying at Michigan as long as the school wants him, source said. So all of a sudden we've gone from, yes, let's go Minnesota Vikings, to I will be at Michigan until you drag me out of here, is basically what he said.
In other words, next year we're probably going to get smoked by Ohio State. We won't be in the playoff. We won't win the Big Ten. I won't have NFL offers, so please keep me. And also, can you give me more money?
Which?
Because you cut my pay last year.
I guess even now he did not have an offer from the NFL team. He got an interview, no offer.
And he apparently was certain he was. Now, look, there are some Vikings fans who are upset by this.
Yeah.
Which I get, like, I mean, certainly when you talk about, because Kevin O'Connell is going to be apparently the choice.
Yeah.
Is he the favorite or does he have an offer yet?
The only thing I've seen is he's
the favorite.
He hasn't
been hired yet. Yeah. So if that's where they go, they are picking someone with way less of a resume than Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time.
He's been around Sean McVay, though.
Well,
so
that's right.
Got to count for something.
Yeah. Has Harbaugh been learning from the Jedi Master Sean McVay? No.
Clock management.
But it is interesting. Like
challenging.
I can see why people, you know, like fans would be upset. Like Chicago was all ready to be like, oh, we hired Eberflus and they got Harbaugh. Harbaugh quarterbacked here, right?
Yeah.
But it also shouldn't be that shocking. I mean, Harbaugh did really good things with the 49ers. There's no doubt about it. He's a really good coach. But also, that was a while ago. And, you know, I mean, the Michigan tenure has not helped him.
No.
I mean, he's changing coaches left and right. This year, he broke through, and he's got his chance to go back to the NFL. Didn't get it. Now he's back at Michigan. But it shouldn't be that shocking that, like, they would pick the young hotshot over him.
I would think so. But I'm just picturing in my head Harbaugh showing up in the Minnesota facility yesterday, just kicking the door open. Hey, guys, Don't worry, I'm here. All your problems are going away. Jim Harbaugh is here, and I'm ready to start the job.
Let's get through this formality of an interview, and let's talk money. Like, well, actually, Jim, we're interviewing other candidates, and we thank you for coming in. We're going to have an interview now.
Jim, it was kind of inappropriate for you to show up in a Justin Jefferson jersey that's been signed already. You're not even the coach yet. What are you doing?
Oh, man. And so now I love this, too. I mean, and this is, again, this is just like – go back to when the Titans fired Mike Mularkey. Like, they beat Kansas City, you know? And again, it's like, hey, if you're like the social media team, Titans social media team, by the way, does a really good job. And you just have to react to what's going on. But it's like, after that win, it's like, this is our coach, Mike Mularkey. And it's all this. And then it's like,
7 days later,
Mike Vrabel, the new era for the Titans, you know?
I mean, a PA announcer. Following people around wherever they go. And now, your prospective new coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Here's Jim Harbaugh.
He hasn't been fired yet. Mike Mularkey! So the Michigan football account, as soon as Harbaugh, you know, doesn't get the offer, has to come back and say, guys, can I still stay? It's like, go blue, Coach Harbaugh! Like this big celebration, like he just got hired all over again, you know? But again, that's
college coaching.
That's what you're
so
gonna do.
Stupid.
That's what you're gonna
do.
So
dumb. Good gracious. Jordan texting in says, going back to the Jimbo NIL stuff. Isn't this what got Hugh Freeze canned? This is coming from Jordan on the text line.
No,
it is not.
Yeah, we can't really get into the details of what got really Hugh Freeze canned, but
I can promise you, it was not that.
Yeah, was Ole Miss, did they get investigated, and was the, yeah, definitely there was recruiting stuff with Ole Miss. They were sloppy too, but no.
That was not why Hugh Freeze was fired. Oh, man.
It's like on my Twitter account, I have the Hall & Oates helpline. There are other phone numbers out there that do other things.
That's correct, and Hugh Freeze can tell you about those if need be. Shout out to Liberty, by the way. Scott on the text line says, Slice Bread does have a burner account. It's called Slice Toast. This coming from Scott.
Nice.
On text
line.
So just different forms of bread on the Texas A&M message boards. Do we think that
he actually talked about sliced bread.
It's unbelievable. Do you think that Jimbo follows that message board account on Twitter that you made me follow where people have all these brain dead ideas on there?
Message board geniuses?
Message board geniuses, yes.
God, I hope so. In fact, now that you said that, what do they got going on over there? I bet you they got some stuff this.
I bet sliced bread's appear on there before.
Yeah.
It's any question.
Oh,
we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Yesterday was National Signing Day in college football. What it looked like for Vanderbilt and for Tennessee. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. That was Lane Kiffin.
No, you're not complaining.
Yeah. No complaining here from Lane Kiffin.
And now we have differences in resources.
Yeah.
We haven't had that before. It hasn't been a problem before. Paying players wasn't a thing before. There weren't different economic situations at different schools before. Now we have an issue because you lost some recruits. I mean, all these guys, put them in a blender of just STFU. My God.
I mean, the luxury tax comment. That set Jimbo
off.
That's
pretty
funny.
It's funny.
I enjoyed that.
No, I mean Lane's
hilarious.
Shout
out to Lane Kiffin.
Lane's hilarious, but I love this. You know, I mean, I'm not complaining, but
I'm
about to cry.
I've been complaining for the last 2.5 minutes, but I'm not complaining.
I mean, I got to see when's the next coach meeting, Destin. I mean, Jimbo and Lane.
Jimbo said, "I ain't hard to find. Come get me one of these meetings." Jimbo was ready to fight yesterday, man.
Clown act.
Mm.
Yeah. How about that? By the way, I went to Message Board Geniuses. There's some good stuff. Actually, Michigan fans, according to the Message Board Geniuses, there's a collection here of posts. Here's one Michigan fan. I wish he would GTFOH for real. Here's another one. What is it? Simi Go Blue. I'd rewrite his contract after this charade and make sure he'll work for free in 2022.
Wow.
GRSS Maverick 4 says, he's lost trust. Your word is your bond. Was taking a big dump on his so-called beloved U of M. He's an egomaniac. So, I don't know. I'd like to know. There's an interesting poll question right now for someone elsewhere to do. Michigan fans and Harbaugh.
This coming from Matt Schneidman, who covers the Green Bay Packers from The Athletic.
This better be real estate related.
Says, heard Aaron Rodgers told people in his inner circle that he likes private flights, so he's open to playing for the Jets. Sources also say he likes the zoo, so it would be open to the Jaguars and Lions. Do we think that's a direct shot at Stillman?
Ooh, my goodness. Or maybe we should take him at his word.
Well.
Did he just tweet this?
He just tweeted it.
Oh, boy.
Do we think that's a shot at Stillman? I say yes.
I would say yes. Okay, I got to read this again. He likes private flights, so he's open to play. Okay, I got you. Okay. So he's going with the literal, yeah.
He's open.
Interesting. Yeah, he's open to Jags and Lions.
Jared has caused a firestorm up in Green Bay.
First of all, it is interesting information. Whether it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's interesting information that Aaron Rodgers, like, that's worth reporting.
Yeah,
the open to thing. That's the thing. I'm like, okay, give me more there. What does that mean?
Yeah,
but maybe maybe McAfee needs to ask Aaron Rodgers directly about that. That's the next person that'll talk to him, right?
Whenever he makes his decision on what's going on, he's going on McAfee. I'm serious.
So he's done. So he's not going to be going on there on a regular basis anymore. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's too bad.
I think the next time he'll be on there, he said he'd come on and do whatever he wants, whatever decision he has.
So on McAfee. So he's going to announce the decision. But
that's what he said.
He also said in the last interview that he's going to decide first if he's playing, right?
Correct.
So that may be the
– could be
so,
that.
So that be maybe soon.
It could be. Now.
And then he can ask him about that, about this.
Now, come on. He's back-to-back MVPs. I'd be shocked if he retired.
I would be too. I know what
you're saying. I'm just
– then he can talk before he actually – because, again, I mean, that's what's weird. His only decision is that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he doesn't trade himself. He can help dictate that, but he doesn't trade himself.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Joe, yesterday was National Signing Day in college football. It's lost a little bit of luster since the early signing period has really taken over control of college football. And quite frankly, had Jimbo not spouted off at the mouth yesterday and Nick Saban not talked, I don't know how much National Signing Day we'd be talking about today here on the program. How did it go for Vanderbilt and Tennessee? We'll start with the Vanderbilt side of things. You know, Tennessee, it's going to be interesting to see how the transfer portal in the future gets impacted there. We'll get to that here in just a few seconds. But a couple of local kids signed with Vanderbilt yesterday, including Jameson Wharton, who, nice Hendersonville Commando. We're all about Hendersonville Commandos here on the show. Good stuff.
Yeah. Vanderbilt, you know, and they had some really good additions from the original signing day since then.
Yep.
So they end up in the in 24/7 has them – just the 24/7 rankings has Vanderbilt 23rd in the country.
Which is pretty good.
The composite rankings, which 24/7 does, which is kind of taking them all into account, has them 31, 31 for Vanderbilt is
pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they've been in more in like the 60s. I know at least some years they've been in the 60s with Derek Mason. You know,
yep.
I know some fit. You know, of course, James Franklin famously had like that top 25 class. But yeah, that's pretty good. Now, of course, again, you have to keep it in perspective of the league. So in the league, it's still 14th. Now, 24/7's own rankings put Vanderbilt 10th in the league. They put Vanderbilt ahead of Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida.
Yeah.
And South Carolina, the composite rankings, they are last. But again, I mean, they're right there with all those teams. That's not normal. That's not normal. Tennessee in the SEC, again, the 24/7 actual rankings have them fifth. The composite rankings have them seventh in the SEC. Overall, Tennessee is 16th in the composite, which is, you know, that's a good – for them too, compared to where things were looking, that is that's a good recovery. They had one signing yesterday, the defensive end from I don't know. Do you remember? I can find it real fast. They signed one guy yesterday. I mean, it's just there's not much going on here. No. A lot of times by the end here. Now Texas A&M had some big.
Yeah, they did.
You know, big signings for whatever reason.
By the way, top three in recruiting composite rankings: Texas A&M 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3. All in the SEC.
Yep.
Ohio State at 4. And then Texas at 5, who will someday be a member of the SEC.
That's right.
I mean, shout out to Texas for still being able to recruit as well as they are, with the on-the-field results at times being disastrous.
It's never stopped. And you know, NIL now is here, and so now we're talking about the financial differences between places. Well, it's Texas has been there year after year. And why is that? Because Texas prints money.
Yeah. Tennessee, I mean, Josh Heupel and company do finish ahead of Florida, which is interesting. It's been a strange start for Billy Napier down there in Florida. A lot of work to do on that front.
Yeah. And you when you have a coaching change, you often will expect that first class to be lower. I mean, look, the hopes for him, I mean, Florida is coach after coach, and I still think Dan Mullen's a good coach, but coach after coach, they just haven't recruited at the same level at all. They have not recruited at the level they think they should recruit at since they had Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
And even he was starting to slip and so clearly lagging behind Saban before he got out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Tennessee, there probably haven't been too many years, although I guess Butch had a couple.
Yeah.
Where they would have finished ahead of Florida in the recruiting rankings.
Kentucky, number 13 in the country. About old Mark Stoops getting it done. LSU slides back up to number 12. You know, at one point, like 3 weeks ago, LSU was down at like, they were like 38. Now they finished back in top 12, which is low for LSU, but nice closing job by Brian Kelly there.
Right.
Despite
well,
the video.
Kind of. I mean, they signed the number one outside linebacker in the country yesterday out of, I think, he's a Louisiana kid, but they did lose two in-state, big in-state, and of course they lost the kid who
stopped putting videos
realized out. That he cannot play for a coach who dances like that.
No.
What is Brian Kelly doing in those things?
I don't know. Man.
I mean, I'm not, like, look, I want him to keep doing it. Don't
oh,
get me
I do
wrong,
too.
But really, like, you got to work on
I would much rather see
dance
him.
Moves, man.
I'd much rather see the accent continue on than the dancing continue on. But I feel like the accent thing is done at this point. I think he had his fun with it. He realized how stupid he sounded, and he's not doing it again. If I had to choose one, I would much rather him continue with the accent than the dancing.
Have you confirmed that? Did he have a press conference yesterday, and he just talked like regular?
No, every interview I've seen since then, he's talked normal,
no
including
current.
The interview where he said, "I'm from Boston. We don't have accents up there." And I was like, "Oh, really? Okay."
Yeah. No corn cob pipe.
There's no accent.
I'll say. We signed a good class.
the family thing will. Oh, that's going to be played on loop for yeah. years.
Yeah, but good recovery for Brian Kelly. I mean, it's look, he has gone to a place with better resources. You know, gone to a place with better talent resources available, and no restrictions on bringing in talent. Also,
Notre Dame finished 7th.
It's right. Notre Dame finished ahead of them, but also he's in. Those are some recruiting waters. It does mean more in this league.
Just go watch Cincinnati Bengals. You'll find out very quickly. It does mean more in this league. When we come back, it is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your best and worst things in sports for the week. Joe Rex Road, would you like us to kick us off with your best and worst thing in sports for the week?
I'll do that. I also have some sort of honorable mentions I can get into a little bit later.
Okay.
They're a little bit off the beaten path.
I like it.
A little bit strange. But, best and worst, this works. It always works better if you can just have two things that go hand in hand. So my best and worst would be best Brian Flores, worst a lot of other things around the NFL. You know, Brian Flores, I mean, this is the first class action racial discrimination lawsuit filed against the NFL, which is kind of amazing if you think about it. I think Bill Belichick's text created this for him. I mean, I think I don't blame him at all for being in a rage about it, and he has jeopardized his own career. I hope that that doesn't play out that way. We'll see. But I give Brian Flores a lot of credit for doing this. This is not just about him. This is for other people, too, and I admire that. The worst is, like, I mean, of all the things about this, including whenever this comes up, people who want to poo-poo it and you know, scream about hire the best person, I think my worst is the NFL saying there's no merit to the claims. At the same time, we're going to thoroughly investigate these claims that there is no merit with, and we're not really going to investigate, but we're going to investigate. Yes. Just classic NFL response there. So that's my best and worst.
Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports for the week.
Okay, I figured somebody was going to do that one, so that obviously is the worst in sports, but I will start. I have another worst in sports. I think this happened at the end of last week, but basically Mina Kimes, this was after the 49ers lost to the Rams. Yes, Rams. And Jeff Garcia basically said that, who is Mina Kimes? She has no idea what she's talking about, saying how Jimmy Garoppolo's performance was pretty much underwhelming. We've talked about that. Yep.
Actually, sorry, just to clarify, it was after they beat the Packers. She Correct. Was saying he's like the kid who didn't do the homework.
Yes.
Beat the Packers,
but
yes,
they got the
before.
Good project grade. Right.
Yes, exactly. So they beat the Packers, and basically she was saying how it was an underwhelming performance by him. We've talked about it. They basically won because of special teams, yada, yada, whatever. He basically just went in to rip on her and saying she's never played football, all of this. There are plenty of analysts who have never played the game. There's actually only a very small few people who have actually played in the NFL.
And some of them are idiots that have played the game. But
that's
continue.
True, yeah. too.
Mina Kimes is very intelligent, went to Yale, very analytical. If you listen to her, you watch the game, you know she knows what she's talking about. And then best in sports, kind of on the same thing. All of these very credible analysts basically stood up for her instead of just kind of taking Jeff Garcia's back and saying, oh, yeah, you're right. She never played the game. So that means she doesn't know what she's talking about. Also, a lot of coaches have not played. So and they know what they're talking about. So basically just a rant on that. And then another best in sports is SEC basketball. It's just my favorite time of the year. Love watching basketball. And Kentucky's good. So there we go. There's the rant.
There you go.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, I mean, a whole bunch of people ripped Jimmy G, but somehow he picked Mina Kimes is the one he has a problem with. What is that? What is it about Mina that gives him a problem? I don't know. Hard to understand. Yeah, Jeff Garcia has been ratioed pretty hard here.
I forgot he existed until this happened. So
he was a good fantasy quarterback for me in, like, 2001, but does make up for this, Jeff.
I don't think so. All right, I'm going to start my worst thing at sports for the week. This happened yesterday, and it was borderline unbelievable to watch this take place and to transpire. The Blackhawks had a town hall meeting yesterday, and, you know, it's one of those things where they're trying to repair their image. We know what's going on with the Kyle Beach situation and the sexual assault that took place back in 2010 with the Chicago Blackhawks. So Rocky Wirtz, their owner, is taking part in this town hall meeting, and Mark Lazarus, who has covered Chicago sports and specifically the Blackhawks for a long time, he shows up to the town hall meeting and asks Rocky Wirtz, really, quite honestly, a very simple question about, you know, the sexual assault allegations and basically what the organization is doing to try and prevent these things from happening in the future. And the response from Rocky Wirtz was borderline unbelievable. Here's what he had to say yesterday at the Chicago Blackhawks town hall meeting.
Back also in. I think much of what happened to Kyle Beach stemmed from a power imbalance between a coach and a player and the powerlessness of a player in that situation. So what are the Blackhawks doing? What have the Blackhawks done? What will the Blackhawks do to empower a player in a similar situation to make sure that doesn't happen again?
I'm going to answer the question at the end. I think the report speaks for itself. The people that were involved are no longer here. We're not looking back in 2010. We're looking forward. And we're not going to talk about 2010.
I'm not talking about 2010.
I know, and I'm not either. And we're not going to talk about what happened. We're moving forward. That is my answer. Now, what's your next question?
I can pick up to what we are doing today. And I think
no, I don't know. That's none of your business. That's none of your business. What we're going to do today is our business. I don't think it's any of your business.
How is it not my business?
Because I don't think it's any of your business. You don't work for the company. If someone in the company asks that question, we'll answer it. And I think you should get on to the next subject. We're not going to talk about Kyle Beach. We're not going to talk about anything that happened. Now, we're moving on. What more do I have to say? You want to keep asking the same question? You hear the same answer? Okay, ask the next question.
So that was Rocky Works, the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, yesterday.
They responded. Got worse, too.
Oh, they got worse. I mean, he kind of doubled down a little bit later, and it was – obviously, that's generated a ton of reaction. Again, it's a pretty simple question from Lazarus there as to, you know, and the other person you heard outside of Wirtz and Lazarus there was actually Wirtz's son, who was prepared to kind of, like, answer the question
was trying
that was asked.
To, yeah.
And
yeah.
Trying to, like, I guess de-escalate the situation. And then Rocky Wirtz made it 1,000 times worse as he kept going on. I could not believe that response yesterday. You sent out a memo to your fans in October talking about how hard you're going to work to try and repair your image and not ever let something like this happen again. And you get kind of really a simple question from Lazarus about the steps you have taken since that time to ensure that something like that doesn't happen again. And that's your response if you're Rocky Wirtz. That really calls into question to me whether or not he's fit to be the owner of this team. And I know it's you get into a tricky situation there when you're talking about owners and forcing them to sell and all this other stuff, but that was that bad of a response last night from Rocky Wirtz. It's brutal.
Yeah, he gets asked something along the same lines later, and he starts going off like someone from one of the papers in Chicago, and he starts going off about how come you're like – our scores don't get in the print edition the next morning.
It's like it's 1984.
Want to talk about your sports section? Like, what? Dude, what are you doing? I mean, completely unhinged. Ridiculous. And just tone deaf and not understanding, like you said. I mean, these are things that absolutely don't just belong discussed inside your company. you're trying to recapture.
That's kind of how you got into the situation, is discussing things inside your company and then covering them up.
Exactly. But it's just, yeah. And a lot of people have that mindset, but not many people are willing to just go ahead and lay it bare for everybody like he just did.
Rocky Wirtz last night on Twitter, and I can't remember who covers the Blackhawks that tweeted this out. I think it was Scott Powers. Rocky Wirtz was the number 5 trending topic on Twitter last night. Not in sports, in the United States of America. That's what happened last night with that one.
All right, Rocco.
Just unbelievable. Yeah. That's what happened there. So that's my worst thing in sports. It's hard to transition from that one to the best thing in sports, but I'll just go with Philip Forsberg. Watching him play right now is a lot of fun. You know, we can have the conversation about his contract and all that stuff and whether or not it's a good idea. I heard you and Jared argued about this yesterday, signing him to a long-term deal, whether or not that's a good idea. We'll have plenty of time to discuss that. I guess my advice right now would be just enjoy watching Philip Forsberg play hockey as long as he's playing like this, because it's fun to watch on a nightly basis. 24 goals, 33 games.
Yeah, that's damn no doubt. He's been excellent, fun to watch, and it's fun to argue about it. There's still some, you know, it's good to have, you know, different viewpoints on that. But, I think the Preds are very interested in keeping him as they should be.
Yeah, I think so too, and we'll see what happens on that front. Still got some time to work out a contract, but we'll see if that gets done on Philip Forsberg. Mike from Nashville texting in says, the worst in sports is a toss-up between Mahomes' girlfriend and Stillman. The best are the Preds. By the way, it's Mahomes' wife. They are married, and they do have a child. Why is Stillman in the same conversation?
Their child is not Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, it is not, even though it seems like that at times. Why is Stillman in the same conversation as Mahomes' wife pouring champagne all over people?
I don't know. But actually, Jackson Mahomes, Jared, dance TikTok.
That'd be pretty cool.
Is appealing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate texting in says his best is the same talking about. He was talking about the Rocky Wirtz situation being his worst thing in sports that we just kind of mentioned there. Says his best is the same thing because that organization continues to crumble in the public eye, and the Predators fans are enjoying watching the Blackhawks collapse. By the way, here's the other part of this. Going back to like the why doesn't your paper show our box scores? They suck. They're all. Yeah. They got beat 5-0 last night by Minnesota. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Do you want those out there?
You want that? Yeah.
They're awful. No, it's a tough time to be a Chicago Blackhawks fan.
I got a couple quick things to throw in here. A best because I feel bad because I lost his name. I've lost it on the text line driven by WilsonCanada.com. But a guy texted. Did you see the guy who texted in yesterday about Dr. Barkley?
Oh yeah,
Dr. Sex.
Yes,
He had taken. Remember Dr. Barkley? I told you about him.
Joe, I could never forget the story. Yes,
just talked about sex and acid. Okay, it was a psych class. But he's telling a story about in the 70s, took his class, and they were passing a joint around, And then some parents wanted to get him out, and he's like, yeah, I got tenure. I can confirm that in the 90s he was not still doing that, though. Or at least maybe I missed that day.
Sounds like you got a great education.
Oh, believe me, I'd tell you the story if there was something passed around in a Dr. Barkley class. But no, he apparently stopped doing that. But anyway, it was great to hear from you, so thank you, and I apologize. Also, you know, so every day is a day, right?
Thank you.
I did not know until like later in the day. I'm looking at Twitter. Yesterday was National Women in Sports Day. So shout out to all of you.
Every day is a day.
Every day is a something day.
Okay.
But some of them are actually good. Like, some days it's like National like Oil Change for 10% Off Day, you know? And it's like, oh, great.
Those are good, though.
Well, yes. But National Women in Sports Day is a big day. So shout out to you and all women in sports. I mean, there's so many in this market alone. Some people were tweeting at them, tagging them. You don't want to forget anybody, but a lot, of course, we have to be thankful for. I got beef with Caroline Fenton, though.
Okay.
I got to throw this in. So yesterday I'm making a joke about the Washington Red Washington Red Beans and Rice.
Yeah.
Okay. So Caroline texts me, says, I would root for Washington Red Beans and Rice, which is funny, right?
Yeah.
So I text back. Red Beans and Rice Didn't Miss Me could be a chant at the games.
Yeah.
You get that reference? Yeah. You get that reference?
Yeah.
Sir Mix-a-Lock?
Yeah.
Baby Got Back? Red Beans and Rice Didn't? Okay.
When are you going to accept that you're a part of a different generation?
I know, but come on. We all know this song. So she never responded to that. And then a few minutes later, I looked at it. I'm like, I wasn't saying like Red Beans and Rice Didn't Miss You, Caroline. Yeah. So I text her. I said, by the way, I meant as a chant for Chans in general, not you specifically. Yikes. Never texted me back. I do not want to be creepy guy, okay? I can be...
Joe, you are not creepy
dude,
guy.
Dude, but that's... I can be like a bad writer, loser, idiot, pathetic father, all that stuff. Do not ever want to be creepy guy. If you don't respond to someone after those texts, Caroline, now you have that person worried about being creepy. Don't put me in that position.
She did reward you with a nice win yesterday in Jared versus Joe.
I did win.
So all is well.
It did not affect me, beating Jared again in Jared versus Joe.
Joe Rexroad's
shout out to Caroline Fenn.
Joe Rexroad's new Twitter bio picture. Every day is a day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
I did not know where you were going with that. Every day is a day.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to talk about Groundhog's Day, honestly. Yeah.
When we come back, it's time to be joined by our good friend John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and the Titans. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.